You are listening to episode 13 of the God-Centered Mom Podcast, an interview with Rachel Ann Ridge. You're listening to the God-Centered Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden. As the mom of four young boys, I know motherhood's hard. But sometimes I think I make it harder than it needs to be by putting myself in the center of things or even my kids. I forget to place God there and be led by His Spirit. I also tend to forget that I'm surrounded by God. He goes before me, He walks with me on the hard days, and He comes behind me when I make a mistake. So each week I'll interview someone new and we'll discuss what it means to be a God-centered mom. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, welcome to the God-Centered Mom Podcast. I am thrilled to be able to have a new friend on the show. I met our guest, Rachel Ann Ridge, at a conference that I hosted last summer. And Rachel was so sweet to offer her services to make the facilities look amazing. And she was just really wise with how she chose to decorate the place. And then her spirit was so uplifting and sweet and kind. And I've just gotten to know her over the past year really well. And you know, the kind of friend that now you have each other's phone number. So I'm very excited to invite Rachel onto the show. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
And Rachel is an artist, designer, writer, and mom of three grown children. Now, Rachel, will you tell us about your children?
Sure. All three of my kids are now in their 20s. My oldest two daughters are 27 and 25, and then and they're both married. And then I have a son who is in college who just turned 20. So yeah, it's hard to believe that they're all grown up, but they are.
Where does he go to college?
He is at Texas A&M.
That's what I hear people say.
There you go. Somewhere he got the math gene, and he's becoming an engineer. And I will just say he did not get the math gene from me.
Yeah, I mean, none of the words that I use to describe you included engineer or math. Artist, designer. Okay. So you have two girls 2 years apart and then a son 5 years later.
Right.
So how was that? I mean, I know some people choose, oh, I'm going to have kids every 2 years. Was that your goal? I mean, was it a surprise? Were you thinking of having a third? What's the story with the third?
No, we had some major life interruptions between the girls and Grayson. And, you know, we knew that we wanted to have three or four kids. And we just had some job situations and health situations that just sort of, you know, fit right into that space. And plus, having two kids 2 years apart, I was a little bit overwhelmed. Yeah. So I wasn't ready for that third one, you know, for several years. And then, of course, we were delighted to have a boy. And and having a space in there was, I loved it. He was just my little buddy, and about the time that both girls were in school, he was, you know, in the baby and toddler years. So I really had a chance to kind of elongate that preschool time, maybe a little bit longer than normal, but it was a great period of time in my life.
Well, I think it's awesome. They're perfectly planned, exactly how they are.
Not a mistake.
Now, I know I gave you fair warning, but on the God-Centered Mom podcast, we usually ask moms coming on about any kind of humbling stories, times through motherhood. We all know motherhood is a sanctification process, getting us more Christ-like and making us aware of how limited we are. So I gave you a tiny bit of warning that I was going to ask you that question. And so in your motherhood story, I know you got to spend time home with them, and you had two girls real close together. And so was there any time in your life where you got to the end of yourself and you realized, I can't do this without God?
Well, like I said, pick one. There's so many that, you know, it's all a little bit of a blur. But, you know, I think we had both Tom and I came from Christian homes. And so we did have a good foundation to begin with. And I'm really, really appreciative of that. And, you know, it just reaps a lot of blessings. You do things that kind of come instinctively. But then you have kind of a false sense of confidence that you're going to have this awesome family, and the kids are going to, of course, be well scrubbed and obey and, you know, be to bed on time. And, you know, no matter what your background or your foundation is, you're really unprepared for the tantrums, for the disobedience, for the messes, for, you know, for just how short your fuse can be. And I think that probably I think back to maybe about the time that Grayson was two, which would put the girls, you know, plus 5 years on top of that, that I just, we both just kind of looked at each other and went, this isn't going the way we want it to go. And we need some help. And right about that time, our church was offering some parenting classes, and so we went through several parenting classes together, and those doing that together, I say, was one of the very, very best things that we did as a family, because it got us onto the same page. It really made us talk about our spiritual values and what we wanted our family to look like. It helped us to really shore up those areas of, you know, disobedience and getting to the point where we really could enjoy the children as much as we wanted to. And so I really kind of point to that time of life as really getting us onto the right track, and recognizing that no matter how good you think you have it, you still need help, and you still have to throw yourself upon, you know, the mercy of the Lord and the wisdom of those that have gone before you to help you.
Well, I think that's exactly where, like, the sage you just said. So your son was two, your daughter's seven, your other daughter's nine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like right where we are. And we are,
and you know,
like,
you just have those attitude issues that you're just like, you know, I am not prepared for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I really do struggle. I'm like, I really want to enjoy this. I really do, but I'm really not. Like,
yeah,
I want to enjoy the 2-year-old, but the tantruming and throwing things, and I'm struggling to. So, what was the course name? Can I get a name? Can I get a number? Because we could.
Well, and it may have changed. We did Growing Kids God's Way.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And it was like an 18-week. I mean, it was pretty intensive. And, you know, there were some things that we didn't use, but there were just a lot of things that really just made gave us a firm foundation of establishing our parenting on respect and honoring, and really just seeing that parenting is a process. And you know, what you do with a 2-year-old is not what you do with a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old. And, you know, and just being able to embrace that and realize that you don't have all of the control that you wish that you could, but yet God's grace is there every single day. And, you know, he really does meet you where you're at.
That's really good.
It's always a humbling experience, no matter what. So, yeah, that's all I can say.
I think it's just encouraging to hear. I think one of the reasons I like to have moms who have grown children on is you've walked the journey so far. I did have a guest on who had issues with grown children, but I think just to get it just feels like a really long road until they are on their own, and we desperately don't want to mess up. Like, we just don't.
Well, and you know, I really valued having friends who had older kids who would say things to me, "This too shall pass," and really help me. You know, I'd be obsessing about, am I ruining my kids because, you know, they won't eat their broccoli, or because we're fighting about bedtimes, or, you know, whatever the case is. And they just kind of, you know, put their hand on my shoulder and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Don't make mountains out of molehills, pick your battles, and, you know, and just lighten up a little bit. And, you know, and I think that's a message that we, you know, we just need to hear that, that it's going to be okay. And, you know, and God's grace covers a multitude of our, what we think is a failure or a shortcoming in our parenting. You know, God's bigger than all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think that I try so hard that I end up sabotaging everything. So I'm wanting to do it right so badly that I put so much pressure on myself that I don't enjoy it. And then, then I'm actually sabotaging it. You know what I mean? Like it's in the wanting to do it all perfectly that I'm not doing it perfectly. Like, if I could just take a step back and like lighten up a little bit, I really struggle with lightening up a little bit.
Well, you know, the great thing is that as your kids get older and you ask them what kinds of things do they remember, you know, they don't remember any of the angst that you were experiencing.
That's good.
They don't remember that you were trying to make things, you know, enjoyable and perfect. They'll remember some of the oddest, strangest things and, you know, treasure those. You know, they'll say things like, oh, remember how we used to make cookies in the kitchen, or remember how we used to, you know, one thing that we always did is we'd have milkshakes and popcorn and watch movies. And that's just one of their very, very favorite memories. And, you know, we always think, oh, I didn't do that often enough. But even the things that you do just kind of hit and miss, those are precious and priceless. And, you know, they remember those things. They don't remember that you messed up. So,
well, that's good.
Take comfort.
That's good. That's a, you know, how many hours on the counselor's couch are they going to spend? No. Yeah. Okay. So with, you know, you said you did the Growing Kids God's Way, which I think is really a good idea. Just to get on the same page, because I mean, my husband and I grew up in very similar homes, but it's amazing how different they still are. And, you know, it would be, sometimes we see things differently as far as what to do, and we each are responding in the way we know. And so to get on the same page, I think that's huge. And then as far as you, like, when you're, did you struggle with anger or frustration with your kids, or like, what did you have, like a go-to pitfall with your kids that you just needed God more for? I don't mean, I know for me it's anger. I'm definitely have the anger thing going. So I need I need God's spirit for patience. But
I
don't know. You seem so like sweet and calm. I can't imagine you getting angry.
I know. I'd like you to think I'm like that all the time, but I was absolutely horrible with the tantrums and crying with the preschoolers. When they'd throw themselves down on the floor and foam at the mouth and, you know, scream about not wanting to put their shoes on, you know, or whatever, you know, you look at them crossways and they're, next thing you know, they're screaming about it. That just made my blood would just boil instantly, and I would just get so angry. So I really did struggle with that in particular. You know, and I'd read all the books. Okay, walk away. You know, do all the, I tried all of it. You know, thankfully they really do grow out of a lot of that stuff. Of course, anger, you know, when they have, attitude issues, I think that's probably the hardest thing to deal with, as your kids get older, you know, those types of things come out and, you know, you just have to walk away, cool off, ask for wisdom, you know, bite your tongue and, you know, and try to, deal with it in a positive way. But yeah, those are probably my two biggest areas that I struggled with.
So did you have a time that you met with God?
I have been really terrible about having set times. I am a wing it kind of gal.
Preach it. We were talking about that earlier.
I value my sleep. I'd sleep to the last minute, and you know, if it's sleep or eat breakfast, I'll take sleep every single time. So I'm kind of a big believer in pockets, finding little pockets of time, and having my Bible and notebook handy, having it at my bedside. I like to crawl into bed at night and use that as my devotional time or my reading time. You know, I just admire the people that can, when their kids take naps, they're like, oh, that's the time I get my Bible studying done and I do BSF and, you know, all these in-depth things. And I'm like, seriously, once that baby is down for a nap, I'm taking my own nap. So, so I was not really very good at, you know, using that time constructively. So, and I'm still like that. I think God's okay with it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's why I asked that question of all of my guests, is because I know how I do it and how it works for me. And I know how a couple of other people, you know, but I think that it's good to see there are godly women who do it in different ways. And a lot of it's personality, a lot of it's scheduling, a lot of it's season of life. I mean,
all of that.
Like if, you know, you and I were talking about, we're more like, we're not so much write it down to-do list kind of people. We're very reactionary. And like, as it comes towards us, we deal with it. So it's harder to, you know, maybe be organized and
you can't beat yourself up on it.
No.
About things like that. They're in, like you mentioned, seasons of life. And I mean, I could probably, you know, name five different seasons of life. And there are times when more structure, works well and I need that. And then there are other times when life is so full, and you're going so many different directions that really the best that I've been able to do is to, snatch moments here and there and really, you know, I will tell you, driving in the car is one of my biggest, best times to, that's the time that I use to pray. If I have to run an errand, and I, you know, have the luxury of being by myself, I rarely will listen to the radio or to anything, but I use that time to think, to, you know, meditate on scripture, to pray. So driving in the car is one of my really best times.
That's great. That's a good tip. I think having the Bible available by the bedside, driving in the car, those are great, great ideas
for
getting God-centered. So, okay, we talked about your humbling, we talked about your centering. Now, I would love to ask you, what if you could do the whole thing over again? What would you do differently? We'll start with the negative and then we'll go to the positive. What would you do differently in your mothering?
Oh boy, that's a hard one. I really consciously tried to take to heart what older mothers would say to really enjoy and embrace the moment or the season that you're in. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to do that. And I think that there were times, particularly, as my kids got older and I was juggling this art business and having to be on job sites and race home and pick up kids from school and get dinner on the table and go to church and go to youth group, that I was just kind of anxious to get that season over with and be done with it and move on. And rather than just realizing that it really is a very brief season. It is just a few years and it really is gone. So I think if I could do it over again, I would, maybe take fewer naps, just, you know, keep that in mind to really enjoy and savor, each moment, because even in the hard, seasons, there are things that you can miss when you're anxious to just move on to the next thing, when you're just, you know, you're just get so fed up with the obnoxious middle schooler and you're just like, oh, please just grow out of this stage, when there are so many things that are really, really beautiful and precious, and you never get a chance to go back to. So that's what I would do over again.
Yeah. I mean, that is, so on Wednesday nights we have church and, my boys go to choir, and then I meet like in this secret room, the like bride's closet, with some other moms, a lot of who homeschool, some don't, but And we go around and there's this like chart they use to talk about feelings. And each person takes a turn and talks about what they're feeling, which it sounds like total chick stuff, right? Like we're going to sit around and talk about our feelings. Yeah. But I had realized I never really stopped and like felt what I was feeling. Like she said, you can't say that you feel tired because that's not really an emotion. I was like, oh, okay, so what can I say if I can't say tired? So it's like, you know, list fear, and then under that it will have anxious or whatever, and then it's like all the different ones. Uh-huh. And people were going around and they're like, I feel joy. And I'm like, almost everyone said joy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I ever feel joy. What is wrong with me? I'm not feeling joy ever. I'm feeling anxious and frustrated and guilt and like every other emotion on the chart I have felt that day. Right. But I don't think I felt joy. And I was like, oh no, why am I not enjoying this? I am not enjoying motherhood at all. And so like even coming home, I was like, realized I wasn't actually tuning in to the times when I was smiling or I was enjoying a moment. Like they just kind of happened and I moved on instead of like, I noticed the times when I felt angry or I noticed the times I felt guilty or like I really tuned into those emotions, but I was not tuning in to the fact that I felt joy. And I think that I bet that a lot of moms feel the joy, but miss it in the racing or miss it in the overwhelming of the guilt and the shame and the fear and the anxiety. Yeah. And so that to me was just like eye-opening
That's huge. I think that's huge.
That if you can just tune into those. I mean, it's almost like Ann Voskamp's 1,000 Gifts where you're like being thankful. And I think that brings you joy because you're stopping to notice the things that are good. Yeah. But I almost think even just stopping to notice that you're feeling an emotion that's good. I think then when you look back as they're grown, you can say, yeah, but I don't have any regrets because I did stop.
Yeah.
In those times that were good, and I acknowledged them and didn't race.
You know, I think that's so good, Heather. You just being being present in the moment and stopping to take note of it. There's something about that because we spend a whole lot more time on the negative emotions and trying to figure out what's not working and why you feel angry, why you feel guilty, and then we move right on past all the good stuff sometimes, and our days are so full and we're juggling so much. But there are pockets and moments of joy, and they're all around us. And sometimes you have to make them. Sometimes you have to look for them. Sometimes you have to, seek them out. But that's really, really good.
So, okay, there was that. That was negative. Now we're going to go to positive, since we're talking about focusing on the positive. What was one thing you felt like you did really well with your kids?
I think that I really enjoyed them. I think that as they got older, especially those upper elementary, middle school, high school years, kids are so funny and they say the funniest things, and their outlook on life is just, it's just brilliant. And you can miss that when you're in the car, you're going and, pushing, pulling, trying to get things done. And so I really think that one of the things that I did best was to look at each child and see the things that brought them joy and try to do those things with them and enjoy those moments with them. And I think that's why as grown kids, in high school and young adulthood, we have great relationships.
So you really connected with each child.
Specifically. You just look for those things that light up that particular child. For one, it might be they like to have you, like my son, he used to just like me to be in the same room with him and watch him play with his blocks or color, or I didn't have to do anything but just be there with him. And so he was definitely one that enjoyed quality time, and that stayed true all the way to all the way through all of those years. So it just helps you to enjoy, and that makes for some really great memories.
It's kind of like the love languages thing. You're kind of
definitely
tuning into how they feel love, and yeah.
And they're all so different. That's what's, you know, that's what's really cool. You know, same mom and dad, same family, and they're all just wired so differently.
Yes, totally true. Okay, so how is it now that you are the youngest looking grandmother? How is it seeing your daughter do this now? Like, she's raising a daughter, right? A daughter? You have a granddaughter?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Oldest daughter has a almost 9 month old, and then my second daughter is expecting a baby this summer. So y'all just have babies, bring it on. Cause I think this is really fun. Yeah. It is really, I have to say, it's so gratifying, every single day, I thank the Lord for His grace and for His bounty, and seeing and your kids have children is something that you always think that's what old people do, and that's what you know, that's way off in the future. But the day really does come, and when it does, and you just see how ready they are for it and how great they're doing, and kind of reliving some of the same struggles that you had at that stage of your life. It's just an incredible blessing, and, it's what you work for, you know. Mm-hmm. It's reaping the blessing of all the years of hard work and, you know, and just seeing what God really can do in a family. And, you know, I just believe that God is, He delights in our families, and He's so much bigger than what we can hope and dream for them. And, you know, just seeing the fruit of that is just, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can notice just via Instagram. That's how I know these things really advanced.
Yes.
Spying.
I try to be selective about how much I Instagram pictures of the grandbaby, because I don't want to be that
Nana, you know. You're not
posting those things, so
you're not. No, I can just tell that you have a close relationship with your daughters, and that is special. I mean,
it's priceless.
That's great. And did you feel like, were you close to them during those elementary, middle school years because you, like you said, you tuned into what they liked? Were you like a best friend, or were you just, loving on them in the way they felt loved? You know what I'm saying? How they say you can't be your kid's friend, you have to be their parent.
Yeah.
But were you, it sounds like you were the parent, but yet you were loving them well. Them.
Well, I think when kids get into the middle school and high school years, your parenting style really does have to change, and hopefully you've established some good groundwork in the early years, and you're working on a basis of mutual respect. But I think you even in your discipline, because you will always be having to discipline, but you come at it from an angle, not so much as a disciplinarian, but at like a coach, maybe, because they're in the game. And you know, one thing I really try to tell other parents is that you should not fear experiences that cause them to fail or struggle or be disappointed, because those are things that you want to have happen while they're under your roof, so that you can help guide their response to those things and help them, navigate real life issues. So we hate to see our kids try out for things and not make the team, or be treated unfairly by a teacher, or hear language that we don't approve of, all of those things. And rather than just, you know, shutting them down with a speech or going in and trying to fix it, that's really the opportunity that you have as a parent to just to talk about those things and just say, you know, what are your options? How do we respond? How can we do this better? Because they're going to be young adults in just a matter of a few years. And if they've never had to deal with some of those difficult issues without your guidance, then, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. So, you do parent differently as they get older, but we shouldn't fear those things. Those are, you know, you just prayerfully move forward, and you never really feel completely confident. But I feel that if they know that you are for them, you're on their side, that you are their biggest cheerleader, they're way more likely to come to you and ask you to help them deal with the issues that they're dealing with.
I think that's so wise, and I just love your approach to this whole mothering thing. That's why I wanted to ask you on, because I just sense it and your attitude and just how you interact with people. And then I can kind of get glimpses of it, like I said, through the very amazing social media of Instagram. But just, I think that is totally it. Sometimes we can put us against them and this, like, I've got to make you behave or keep you from the worst evils ever. But I think to know that you're on the same team, that you're on you're the coach on the same team, trying to help them live the best life. I mean, that's a discipler. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just so enjoy, talking with you and, you know, and just seeing what you're doing with your boys and, the ages that they are right now. You know, you're in a very, very busy, physically exhausting time of motherhood, and you know, it's a pleasure for me to be able to say to you and to younger moms, just to, you know, to hang in there and to just know that the Lord he's for you, and he's on your side, and he's giving you daily grace and you know, daily strength to meet the needs of your children, and just the fact that, you know, you are your children's best gift, and you should never forget that. They will go through life and know that you are always you always have their back, that you are doing your very best for them, and you know, what greater gift can a child have as they go into life than to know that their mom, you know, isn't perfect, but, you know, but loves them and supports them. So I just see what you're doing, and my hat's off to you. I think you're doing an awesome job.
Well, I'll take that encouragement, and I'll just enjoy that. I'm going to relish that. I'm going to keep listening to that over and over again.
No.
That's so good. Thank you, Rachel, so much. I have really appreciated having you on, and I hope you all have been encouraged by her wisdom and her little nuggets. I've written down all kinds of notes to put in the post to go alongside this. So be looking for the show notes that go with this at godcenteredmom.com. Thank you, Rachel, and I look forward to getting to see you in real life again.
I know. Thank you so much. I love you, Heather.
Oh, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the God-Centered Mom podcast. I hope you enjoyed our guests as much as I did. And if you're looking for resources on how to replace me with he, go to godcenteredmom.com. I want you to know that God is just as present at your kitchen sink as your church pew, that he sees your service and he is pleased. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.